I'm Tom Morello,
host of Maximum Firepower,
a weekly podcast focusing on the music, the moments, and the movements that have shaped my worldview and left an indelible mark on me as an artist and activist.
Come correct with Maximum Firepower.
Redwood Forest, Gulf Stream waters.
This land was made for you and me.
This is Tom Morello's Maximum Firepower.
I'm Tom Morello, and this is Maximum Firepower. My guest this week is a continuation of our discussion with Steve Vai, the great guitar hero, one of the greatest guitar heroes in the history of guitar heroics. A good friend who I've had the honor and blessing to jam with many times, and one of my favorite guitar players on the planet. Please welcome back to the show, Steve Vai.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah,
Tom.
Of course. It might have been when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 25th anniversary thing was being shown on HBO. I played with Bruce Springsteen. We did a song called The Ghost of Tom Joad. I was driving somewhere with my wife, and I like got a text from you, and like I got a text from like Steve Vai, who liked my guitar solo, and I just was like, pull over. I was like, pull over. I gotta stand on top of the car and read this out loud.
Oh my God.
Steve Vai liked my guitar. So I want to talk about another
more
sort
than
of,
liked it.
Well, I want to talk about another sort of interesting cul-de-sac in your career and a record that I adored. And one of the things that I've appreciated about the different places that you've showed up, whether it's Zappa, whether it's Roth, whether it's Whitesnake, was the Public Image Limited record, took you out of a safety zone, it felt. Yeah. You know what I mean? It felt like, like this is another world of post-punk, which I don't think was, you didn't have that drawer, you didn't have that drawer ready to go.
No.
And yet, it's like a true art, like you applied yourself to this in a way that elevated, I think, your playing and certainly PIL's record. I think that's a great, it's a record that if you look for it online, it's curiously titled. The cassette was called Cassette. The album was called Album. The record, so I'm not sure exactly how it's listed.
And there's no liner notes.
Yeah. But it's Steve Vai is the guitarist on that record. And from the single, which was a song called Rise, which is almost like this kind of like Irish folky thing, to the last song on the record where there's this incredible, 82 bar Steve Vai, like exploratory thing. So let's talk about not necessarily specifically that record, but about getting, as for musicians who might be listening, like getting outside of your comfort zone and the rewards that could provide.
Well, getting outside of your comfort zone is important as long as it's navigable. You can navigate it. Like throwing me into a purely improvisational bebop session is not a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
I haven't played over changes like that forever.
Yeah, yeah. You'd figure out but something. I got a feeling you'd figure out something. Yeah,
I'd figure out something. I was always into the energy of all sorts of different music types. The punk scene was, very different than the muso scene, but I appreciated it. And when the call came down to do the Public Image thing, it was another opportunity for me to just kind of put on another hat, but not take it to where I think it should go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like you have to put on that hat. And it's exactly as you were saying, you have to come out of your comfort zone, but into another comfortable kind of a place.
Yeah.
You just redecorated.
Yeah. It felt like you were mirroring the energy of the band, but it was still Steve Vai mirroring the energy of the band,
And the nice thing about that project was I didn't have to do anything. I just showed up. I did all those guitars in two afternoons.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of them, it was so refreshing. One of them, I didn't even hear the song. And I go in, I can't remember which song it was. And I was talking to, Bill Laswell.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, let's put up the next song. And he goes, well, just play. And I said, well, let's take a listen. And he says, no, just play. And I said, shouldn't I listen to the song? He goes, no. He puts the tape in record and he leaves the room. And I just listened and responded.
Yeah.
And he comes back and he goes, how'd it go? And I said, what? I think it went pretty good.
I think we got it.
I think we got, and it worked. And I think that working with Bill and Lydon and, that scene, it brought something out in me that no other project yeah. really could have, you know, so that was nice.
Yeah, I listened to that. I had the cassette, cult cassette, and I listened to that. So, I wore that thing out. Now I want to talk about the first time that you and I actually played together. Now, Steve Vai is a lovely man, but Steve Vai is a persistent man. And you were doing, you had some sort of event at the Musicians Institute on Hollywood Boulevard. And it was like, I'm not sure exactly what the event was, but it was a multi, Steve calls me up and I'm happy to take a call from Steve Vai. He's like, I want you to come down and we're going to do this thing there for musicians. I was like, Steve, like, it's going to be, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be like Crossroads. And I'm like, you know, and it's going to be like Crossroads. And I love you. I love you. But I don't want to do that. And you're like, okay, great. So he calls me up again and I get more emails. And he's like, I really want you to do this. I'm like, okay, how about if we just, I'll talk all day long about, I will over intellectualize rock and roll music and guitar playing all day long. How about if we did? And you're like, fine, that's what we'll do. It'll be interesting. It's Trevor Rabin and Steve Lukather and Stanley Jordan, and we'll have a discussion
that's
about
right.
it. And I'm like, you know what, Steve, I'd be happy to do that with you. I got all afternoon for you that. And so then, like, day before, like, somebody from his world says, so there's going to be a rhythm section there. And so Tom should, like, probably bring his amp. And I'm like, Steve? And Steve, at this point, Steve is not taking my calls because I'm already kind of locked in. And now
what
it's
a
like,
prick.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's a rhythm section there. And then I do get you on the phone, like, yeah, just in case, you know, you want to, like, demonstrate any techniques. I'm like, this is a full on setup. So we get there. And it was a full on setup. And it is exactly Crossroads, but with five guitar players. So from my point of view, like, Steve Lukather of Yes, he's a film scorer and a musical theorist without peer. Steve Lukather has played on more sessions than maybe anybody ever. So, and he's there. Stanley Jordan may be the most technically skilled guitar player of all time.
You know, right?
Like, in the way that he does the 10 fingers, like these beautiful, like, Chopin-ing. And then the other guy's Steve Vai. And there's me making R2-D2 and duck quacking noises. I don't know if I've ever complained to you about this, but so we're at sound check. And my sound check lasted, I played a G chord and went, okay, I'm cool. Stanley Jordan was like, he went seat to seat out there.
Oh, that's right.
He went seat to seat. And he's like, no, I need to hear a little bit more 1K, you know, and roll off a little. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what Steve Vai got me into. So anyway, as it turns out, we had a fantastic time. Well,
ladies and gentlemen.
We had a fantastic time at the
end
of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I say that our man, Tom, in that situation, I vaguely remember the going out into the audience with the 1K. I vaguely remember who was there, but I am very clear on what you did when you played. And it was just spectacular. It was a perfect thing that was needed.
Yeah.
Because we're all these, you know, muso heads. And you, that's the great thing, Tom. You always deliver. You never have not delivered once the light turns red, you know, or green, whatever it is. You're just, it's like, well, I've heard these crazy musos and whatever, you know, and what am I going to play? Duck noises. Wham! Shit is pounded.
Well, like,
it was so perfect.
Yeah, I was like, well, if this is going to be Crossroads, then it's got to be Crossroads. You know what I mean? Like, and I do remember, though, I remember, like, Trevor was really lovely, and you were always lovely. And Steve Lukather, I think I blew his mind. I don't think he knew what was good, had anything.
No.
Stanley Jordan, though, he gave me the craziest side. He was like, that's music? Like the look on his face, like, I'm not sure that he's got the 1K rolled off.
He came to me after the show and said, he should have went into the audience listened to what it's on.
His G chord was completely on. But anyway, so that was, but then we've played together a number of times since, and it's always been a real pleasure. Sometimes at bowling alleys, this, that, and the other. But one of my favorite times was you showed up for a benefit show that I was putting out at the Troubadour. I was doing a thing called the Justice Tour, where we had musicians in each of the cities. We would charge a minimal amount at the door. All the money would go to charity, and then the musicians would, some of the musicians would participate in the various charities around that. Anyway, so, but you came, and this was, it was one of the greatest all-star, it was like We Are the World of my address book of the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, from punk to hip hop to pop to Steve. And you brought all your shit. Like, you had, like, all of, and you played For the Love of God and it just made, I mean, people were crying. It was so beautiful. Oh, so I just want to thank you for that. It was like, that was one of my favorite
anytime,
times.
Anytime, Tom. Anytime. But, you just call me.
That was just one of my favorite, one of my favorite times jamming together. So I want to talk a little bit about, we have a friend, Dan Weiss, who's one of the co-creators of Game of Thrones.
Dan,
he's a dad at my school, and we, you know, he was like the only other guy with like heavy metal t-shirts in the hallway at school.
Yeah, yeah.
So we bonded over that. We came to see you play. And you and he became acquainted. Now, he told me that you gave him a guitar lesson. And I want to, this is I think, going to be very, this may be instructive for some of our, our musician listeners. So he called me, he said, Steve Vai's giving me a guitar lesson. What the hell do I do? I'm like, don't try to impress Steve Vai. Just go in and play something. And Steve's going to be very helpful to you. He's a lovely guy. He's going to be very patient. He's going to help you. So his answer to that was, no, I'm going to learn the solo to Cult of Personality or whatever he wanted to try.
That's
to,
right.
Whatever, yeah, he, whatever, yeah. Whatever he wanted to try to do. So I'm going to give you Dan's version of how the guitar lesson went. So he goes in and you say, "You play me something." So he plays you some version of Cult. And you're like, no. The guitar, tune the guitar. He's like, okay, great. So he tunes the guitar back up. He starts playing again. You're like, no. That chord is out of tune. Listen to the intonation of the chord. It's out of tune. He's like, it is. Oh, okay. So like you listen again and you like a mantra, you're like, it's not in tune. Like when you bend a note, it's like, he thought it was going to be, I'm going to learn how to flip the Phrygian scale around to do this, that, and the other. And instead it was like almost a meditation on the idea of really listening to what you're playing and with tuning being the sort of the North Star. Anyway, I just thought that was very, very fascinating. And then when Dan and I discussed that, and like for all guitar players out there, there are different ways to be compelling as a guitar player. I haven't played a guitar that's in tune in the last 30 years. Just the point. I don't own a tuner. That's how not on tune I am. But in him describing that to me, I was just like, I see, like there is a, you know, from the first day of meditating in a pyramid to today in helping another guitar player sort of with that focus, there's a way, the Steve Vai way, which is a like a sort of a beautiful spiritual way to get to that place. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, you know, I always respond to guitar players that really love what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, that love the instrument. And it doesn't matter how proficient they are, you know. And I first met Dan at
It was a G5. What was the show with?
It was a Nuno. It was a Nuno show.
Yeah.
And we jammed. And he was just so sincere. And the funny thing is, I didn't know anything about Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Nuno says, I want you to meet Dan Weiss. He's a friend of mine, and he's the director and writer of Game of Thrones. And I actually said to Dan, is that a video game?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, I didn't know. I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, I ended up, you know, he sent me the first series and I watched it twice, the whole, all episodes, the entire thing, twice.
Yeah.
And he's such a guitar enthusiast. I wanted to give him a lesson. And he was, you know, he's fine.
Yeah, he can play.
But it's just one of the things that if I just felt like it's important that I mention, because so many players, they overlook it, and it compromises you in the long run. If you're playing and you're not in tune, it's hard.
It's
hard to play in tune.
Yes.
You play in tune. It doesn't matter if your guitar is tuned or not.
Your
fingers figure it out.
Figure it out. Yeah.
But we talked about a lot of things. I think he was giving you his projection of, you know.
It was a theatrical telling. But I just thought the part that I latched onto was that, because I thought it was very, very interesting and very – let me tell you, he took that lesson to heart, you know, and what he took out of it was that really paying attention to what you're playing, rather you're not trying to impress somebody, you like to sort of like really be conscious and present in what you're in how you're playing.
Yeah, it's the presence. And he really, you know, he took all the direction really well. And he's a fun player.
He's a good player. I'm Tom Morello, and this is Maximum Firepower. My guest is guitar virtuoso and spectacular all-around dude, Steve Vai. So let's talk about the gig that wasn't. This was the Eat'em and Smile reunion show. That there's this place in Hollywood, which is a bowling alley, and pre-pandemic times, every Wednesday night or once a month, every Wednesday night.
Lucky Strike.
There would be like sort of musicians from, you know, known and unknown would gather to play metal covers or their own songs. It's a pretty fantastic night of just really sort of celebrating rock and roll music.
Yeah.
And there was going to be quite a celebration this one particular night. Nuno Bettencourt is one of the guys that sort of helps. He texted me, said, I think that the band that played on Eat 'Em and Smile, all four of those dudes are going to play a set of Eat 'Em and Smile for the first time in 30 years.
35 years.
35 yeah, years, something like that. Like that. I said, I'll be right there. I'll be right there for that one. And the place was just bursting at the seams. And, you know, yeah. it's built to be a bowling alley. And it was like the LA Forum crowd was packed in there. And yeah. it was the show that didn't happen. So tell me what. We were yeah. so psyched.
Oh, that was, well, every year, probably usually once a year, Billy and myself and Greg Bissonette, yeah. Billy Sheehan, Greg Bissonette, and Brett Tuggle, we go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And because we're buddies and yeah. we were sitting there one time, we're talking, you know what? It's going to be the 35th anniversary of Eat 'Em and Smile. I yeah. can't even believe it. You know, we got this Lucky Strike thing and we're going to go down there and play. Why don't you, you know, do you want to come and do some songs? And I thought, well, yeah, you know, let's do two songs. We're not going to rehearse them or anything.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just go play. And then I thought, and we were going to get Ralph from Steel Panther
of course,
to sing. Because he does great.
Yes, yes. He's
great
up,
Dave,
he's up to
know?
It. He's up to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I thought, what the heck? Let me call Dave. Maybe, who knows?
Who
he
knows?
Was so into it. He loved the idea.
Yeah.
He came out to the house and we reviewed the stuff. And then we got in a car and we drove there. But we did not announce that he was going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we got there, the line was, as you saw, it was all the way yeah. around the block. And the place holds 350 people.
Yeah.
It's 1,700 people
yeah.
stuffed in there.
Yeah.
And this is going to be great. I'm really excited. You know, Lucky Strike, they got the curtain.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the first chord to Yankee Rose is the, you know,
big yeah.
And I was going to hit that chord and the curtain was going to open. Then I was going to do the talking guitar and
yes.
Dave was going to come out.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're all set. And the curtain's closed and I'm just about to hit the chord. And
wait,
and
so the band is actually on stage?
Oh, the band is
oh,
on
see,
stage.
We didn't
Dave's
know that.
In the back waiting. The curtain is like
oh,
like this, Tom.
You're killing me.
And my arm is like
oh,
this.
Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, and I've got wood, you know
yes.
what I mean? I'm like ready, you know? And this guy comes up to me and goes, Steve, don't do it. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, the place is overpacked. If you play, you're going to be fined. And I said, great, fine
great,
me. I'll pay the
yeah,
fine.
He goes, I'll pay the fine.
I'll pay the fine. That's fine. He goes, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, wait a minute. Wait, let me check it. Because the fine is $5,000. I said, okay, all right, ready? He goes, no, wait, Steve, no, don't. If you play, they're going to close the place. They're going to shut it down right now. And the business is going to lose its, you know.
License
and
or
you're
whatever.
And you can go to jail.
Everybody's going
to. He said to me. And the idea of going to jail made me actually want to hit
yes,
that court
let's
even
go,
more because
baby.
That's some press, baby.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, so I'm like, just do it, Vi.
Just do it.
And then I said, I don't want this place to lose their license.
Yeah, yeah.
So I collapsed. I went back to Dave and I said, it's not going to happen.
Oh,
you know?
That
and
is
he
a
said,
tragic tale.
He
right
said,
there.
They're,
fire marshal.
The police
were
the fire
yeah,
marshal
yeah.
was
fire
there.
Marshal, yeah.
Yeah, and they were ushering people out and all this. And Dave just goes, in his perfect media brilliance, you know, he goes, perfect. Now we'll get more press than if we actually
we played.
And he was absolutely correct
yeah,
because the
yeah.
next day, it was actually on the cover of like daily newspapers.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like,
the Eat 'Em and Smile band almost plays.
Almost. Look at this close.
Almost plays. And so then that was not an impetus to find a venue where maybe you could fit 1,700 people. Yeah.
Well, that night we almost went over to the Viper Club.
Oh, the Viper Room. Yeah, the Viper Room.
We were going to do it there.
Right.
But there was a band that was playing, and they were like, oh, no, we kicked that band right off. I'm like, no, you're going to do that.
The band probably would have been very happy to sit there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
why
I know.
They would have been like, please, please.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I didn't know it was that close. I knew that you guys were in the building, but I didn't know you were that close. Oh.
That close.
Well, I hope, yeah. Who knows? If that ever comes together at the Viper
Room
or somewhere.
You know, we
yeah.
talk about it. We talk about it. But
even for a one-night thing. Even for a one-night
yeah.
thing. Yeah. All right,
yeah.
So lastly, the last time I saw you play was at the concert with Zakk Wylde and Nuno and Tony and Yngwie. And that's the tour that you guys have taken around the world, I believe, several times. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Generation X.
Generation X. That's right. Generation
yeah,
X.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. I got to say, it's fantastic. For a guitar player, it's everything you could possibly want. And the, you know, sort of the reinterpretations of some, there's some like classic rock songs that you guys have mm-hmm. reorchestrated into a five guitar, you know, maelstrom and
yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the personality, it's five very different personalities, which come through, yeah. you know, in the show and in the playing. But I got to say, as someone who has seen shows of all five of you and enjoyed records of all your music, it's really awesome to have that lineup. So tell me what that is like. Because there's also some personalities in that band, too. There is like there's like 10 pounds of personality in a 5 pound bag on that tour.
Oh, I got a feeling. Yeah.
So give me some thoughts about that tour and the other players and the.
Well, it was one of those kind of ideas that I had in the background for quite a while because I knew that if it worked, it would be pretty cool. I wrote a list. I had like these lists that were like, this is for rock, this is for metal, this is for blues,
yes,
this is for,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And I just put my favorite, whoever I thought would be the very best participants.
Yeah.
And when I did the metal category, that was the one I gravitated to. And all the guys I put on there were the ones that made it.
Right.
And I just knew instinctually it could work. And it would be a tremendous show for guitar lovers.
Yes.
people that I told it to, they thought I was a little nuts because, like you say, there was 10 pounds of, you know, in a 5 pound bag. But I just knew it could not only, there's a potential for it to not only work, but for it to work really well, and also for it to work on a personal level really well. And I think when we first kicked off, of course, there was like concerns. I mean, I had like Zach call me the night before and go, are we really going to be living on a sub with Yngwie? I mean, are we really doing this? I'm like, yep. And it's going to be your favorite part of the extravaganza.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
And Tom, we had the best time.
Yeah, that's what,
I love being all the
saying,
time.
Yeah.
Whenever we go out.
Yeah.
Because we laugh at each other, you know, we support each other. We allow each other to just be who they are.
Yes.
Like if somebody has a problem with something, it's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll fix it if we can. And no, and the interesting thing is nobody is inconsiderate. All those guys are really very considerate.
Yeah.
They're really fun. You know them all.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
they're just,
yeah.
I don't, and you know, there's no secrets.
I don't really know Yngwie and Tony that much, but I know the other guys and they are really fun. And I just can imagine what that is like over the course of weeks and whatnot. For a fan, like Zach Wilde got himself a wireless. Let me just say that. You could rename the tour. Zach Wilde got himself a wireless.
Because
every time it's like
Zach is in the lobby.
He's in the lobby. He's in the balcony. Every
he's
time
in the
he
bathroom.
Every time he takes a solo, he's in the orchestra pit. He's in the bathroom
twice during a solo. Sometimes
that's correct. More than one time, he's like, "Where did that guy go?" And people love it, and everybody's you know like high fiving him around. And yeah. and then Yngwie, he's got his own lighting scheme. Like he's got his side of the stage is like sort of a medieval vibe. You know, like
yeah, it is.
And I don't know how he got it to be like there's only like smoke machine like on him, but whatever he's got in his rider, it's working because he's got his whole setup.
Well,
there.
That was one of the things he requested, and I just thought yes because. That's your thing. I wanted everybody to be able to do their thing.
That's right.
You go in the audience as much as you want.
That's right.
You to Nuno, you speak as much
that's
as
right.
you want
yeah,
because
tell your,
people
tell jokes,
love it.
Tell jokes. Yeah.
You know, and Yngwie, it's like you're the one with the smoke machine, and and when you give everybody that space, it's nice. You know, it's great. And you might not know Yngwie because he's very private.
Yeah.
But if you know how to work with him, he's just great. He's amazing. He's funny. He's smart. He's very musical, very, you know, professional. You know, you got to deliver. Because he delivers.
He delivers, yeah. I got to meet him backstage at that show. So I was in the first week Black Star, you know, was in the indie record store. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
But
that was awesome.
Yes, that was fantastic.
You should join us for one of those. Sometime.
I would be. I mean, once again, like the thing, I'm now recognize what I'm in for and I'm down for. I'm happy to do it.
You make anything work. Tom, I can give you a bag of marbles and a cardboard box and you're going to write something beautiful on your iPhone.
It's funny. It's funny because right after we do this interview, I have a bag of marbles in a cardboard box that I'm going to make a song out of. That was this afternoon's gig. Well, Steve, thank you so much. It is first of all, it's just great. It's great to see you and great to talk to you.
It's good to see you.
We haven't really
had
the chance to hang out for a while. And as the world opens up more, I hope we're able to do it. I hope one day we do get to see the Eat 'em and Smile thing as a big fan. That would be just fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. But Tom, you're doing such great stuff. Continue with everything you're doing. And thank you so much for all the support now and through my entire career. Yeah. You're just rock hard, brother.
Well, lots of love to you. And thank you for, you know, a continuing lifetime of awesome music. And that's from all of our
fans.
Yeah, so
we got years ahead of us.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, too. Like, I'm about to write my best song right now. That's the way I look at it every day.
There you go.
That's what I look at
every day. There you go. Right on, brother.
Thank you so much, Steve, for being on the show. It is really, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It is such an honor to just get to talk with you about guitars and everything else as someone who I am a huge fan of you and your music. And your music is a great blessing to the world. And thank you very much for coming on Maximum Firepower. Until next time, take it easy, but take it.
Let foes of justice tremble.
This has been Tom Morello's Maximum Firepower.
Hear this episode again
or listen to past shows right now
on the SiriusXM app.
Search Maximum Firepower.